Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top of Daf Ayin Dalid, at the Mishnah. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, which reads Gimel Deus Tanoim, three Tanaic opinions, Binyan Haforas Neder Al Yedei Yavam, regarding the ability of a Yavam to annul the vows of a Yavama. The Mishnah Shemeres Yavam Bein the Yavam Echod Bein Lishnei Yivmin, a woman whose husband died, leaving no children, but he has a surviving brother. The Mishnah makes reference to a possibility of having two surviving brothers. They are the Yivmin. They are, one of them, of course, is expected to marry her in order to promote the name of the deceased. Rabbi Elazar Omer Yofer. Rabbi Elazar says that vow annulment on the part of the Yavam is a possibility, even if you're talking about a case where there are two Yivmin. Rashi tells us that in the Gemara we will be told that the Yavam that will do the annulment is a Yavam who had given her money. That's called Kiddushei Maimer, and those who have learned Maseches Yavamis will be familiar with that concept of Maimer, which establishes a type of, say, rabbinic link or rabbinic connection between the Yavam and the Yavama. When we speak about a connection, it means it's a connection beyond the basic Zika link that exists as a result of his being a Yavam. So Rebbe Elazar says that Hafora is a possibility, is a reality, in the case of a Shemeres Yavam, even if there happened to be more than one surviving brother. Rabbi Yeshua Omer le'echod avol lo lishnayim. A Shemeres Yavam, her vows can be annulled if there is one Yavam, not if there are two Yivmin. Rabbi Akiva Omer lo'i le'echod v'lo'i lishnayim. Rabbi Akiva says there is no annulment done by a Yavam, not if there are two, and not even if there is one. Omar Rebbe Elazar. Now, Rebbe Elazar was of the opinion that a Yavam has the power to annul the Yavama's vows. Rebbe Elazar explains, Ma im isha shekonahu li'atzmo harehu mefir nedarah. Mind you, a woman that is married by the man on his own volition, is the man has the power to annul her vows. Isha shehiknu lo min hashamayim eino din shiofir nedarah. A woman who is connected, is given to a man by heaven. In other words, the Yavama and her connection to the Yavam is through the death of her husband. That's an act of heaven. So that she has been given to the Yavam through heaven, heavenly intervention, all the more so he should have the powers to annul her vows. Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva. Lo, Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he says, not so, that I'm not going to accept your logic as the basis of such a conclusion. Im amris beisho shekonahu liatzmo she'ein la'achirim bo reshus. If you're going to cite the case of a woman that a man on his own sought out in marriage, that is because others, after a man marries a woman, no one else has any marriage possibility with her. Tomar beisha shehiknu lo min hashamayim sheyesh la'achirim bo rishus. Should you be able to say the same thing, the same power, in the case of a yibum situation? That's isha shehiknu lo min shamayim, where if she is, let us say, bound to one yavam, she's equally bound on a total level to all of the brothers. Rashi goes a little further and says on the third narrow line, says sheyesh liacher rishus bo shim osa bo maimer yavam zeh. If one of the surviving brothers offered her money in anticipation of his doing the yibum with her, bo achiv acharkach, and the other brother comes along, the also bo maimer, and also offers her money for her marriage to him in yibum, tofis ba, that takes hold, kidomer yesh maimer achar maimer, so that you can see there's a certain weakness to a yibum relationship that you don't find in a regular self-initiated marriage relationship. That's what Rabbi Akiva's point is, that you cannot make a kavachomer from the case of a regular marriage and extend the annulment rights to the case of Yibum. Omar Le Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua now enters the discussion and he says to Rabbi Akiva, he says, Akiva, Devorecha b'shnei yivmin, your argument is valid in showing the weakness of Yibum only in the case of two Yivmin. In other words, how did Rabbi Akiva demonstrate the weakness? By saying that just like one Yavam who, as according to Rashi, offers her Maimer, the money in exchange for her agreeing to marry him, the second brother could also do so, and it takes effect, and she won't be able to marry the first husband as a result of that. These are technical points that are elaborated upon in Maseches Yevomis, but Rabbi Kiva's point in demonstrating the weakness of Yibum is understood only when you have two Yivmen. Ma'ata meshiv al Yavam Echad. What are you, Rabbi Akiva, going to say in response to Rabbi Eliezer if there's only one Yavam? Omar Loi. So Rabbi Akiva answers, Ein hayavoma gemura leisha kishem sheharusa gemura leisha. That's a rather abstract sounding statement, but we can take a look at the Rashi. If an outsider were to have intimacy with the Yavoma, mind you, she's waiting for the surviving brother, in other words, her brother-in-law, to marry her. If an outsider would come along and engage in intimacy with her during this interim period, he would not be punishable by capital punishment, by stoning. She'ein bo lo din arusa v'lo din eshesi. She's not considered an arusa, which would result in stoning if she behaves immorally, nor is she considered a fully married woman either, which would ordinarily result in a punishment of chenek. V'ein chayovim elo lav delosia eshes hames hachutza l'izhar. Her offense is categorized as a mere violation of a negative command based on the pasuk that Rashi just cited. That's in the case of a yavoma acting immorally. However, if a regular marriage, a woman, an arusa, behaves immorally with another man, there the penalty is stoning. So you cannot compare whatever we say with regard to yavoma to the case of a regular woman, so that in the case of a regular woman, there we see that the connection is very intense, so much so that an outsider that would have immorality would conduct intimacy with her would be punishable by stoning. Not so in the case of Yavam, even if it's a singular Yavam that's waiting for her. If an outsider can have intimacy with her during that period, it would be considered a lav, a violation of a mere negative command, not carrying with it a death penalty. So that the fact that a husband can annul vows does not enable me to conclude the same for a yavam to be able to annul vows. The Gemara now continues with the analysis of the Tanoim. Bishlamo Rabbi Akiva. I understand Rabbi Akiva that says that a yavam under any circumstance, a yavam cannot annul the vows of the Avoma. Sovar ein zika. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that there is no tangible connection. Zika means a link or a connection between the two. It's true there's a mitzvah to be performed, but there is no link to enable us to consider her like his wife until they actually consummate the marriage. So that's Rabbi Akiva's approach, and as a result, the Yavam is like an outsider, and he cannot annul her vows. Rabbi Yehoshua, he says, Savar Yesh Zika. And as a result of that, if there is one Yavam, he is able to annul her vows. We look at Rashi, Rabbi Yehoshua, Savar Yesh Zika, Ulahachi Le'echod Yofer. Therefore, if there's one Yavam, since there is this bond, the Zika bond, he is like a husband and can annul her vows. Avol Lishnayim Eino Mefer. If she is a Shemeris Yavam, she's a Yavama waiting for one of two brothers to marry her. There's no Hafar De'ein Brera Le'ezimen Zukuka. Le'ezimen Tisyabim. There, Rabbi Yeshua denies the power or the effectiveness of Brera, retroactive determination, to establish to whom she is bound, who is the Yavam. So Rabbi Yeshua's position is also clearly understood. Ella, Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, my ta'amei, what is the explanation to justify Hafara, even in the case where there are two Yivmin? He yesh zika ein brera. Even if you say that there is a bond between a Yavam and Yavama, but nevertheless there is no brera. You can't establish who the Yavam is. So how in the world is a Yavam going to annul her vows when we're not sure that this is the one that's really going to be marrying her? In order to explain Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, you see we have diamonds, and they introduce and they're introduced on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei Mivne heading, the topic heading with the structural note. These are Shtei Deos Lahas B'Shitas Rabbi Elazar, two opinions in order to explain Rabbi Elazar Domar Degam B'Shnei Yivmen Shaya Chafora, that even in the presence of two surviving brothers, in other words, there are two brothers-in-law that are, one of whom is waiting to do Yibam with her, we don't know which one it is, how do we explain the possibility of Hafora? So, do what, as we recommend all the time, just a bird's eye view. Do you see Rabbi Ami in a diamond? That's what, number one. And then there's a second approach, three lines from the bottom. And by the way, if you are interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabbi Ami, Kegoin Sheosa Bo Maimer. In the situation of two Yivmen, one of them gave her money. And now with the money being presented by the Yavam to the Yavam, which by the way is a rabbinic idea. In a regular marriage, in order to establish marriage, so a man, a strange man, approaches a strange woman, and after they, let's say, get to know each other a little bit, he gives her money or something of value. In exchange, she agrees to marry him. That is a d'oraisa. That works on a Torah level. That creates a bond. There was no bond to begin with in that case. But in the case of Yibum, there is a connection that's established with the death of the husband. So that the relationship between the widow and the brother-in-law is a relationship that exists without the need for money on a Torah level. What happens if the Yavam gives her money? So on a rabbinic level, that we'll say that enhances their connection, but on a rabbinic level. So that if one of the Yivmin, one of the surviving brothers, gave her money, we can now employ the Breira idea. Even though the line before we said Ein Breira, in the case of money being given, we can say, oh, now we understand who the Yavam is, and who the we'll call the singular Yavam is, even though they're really two Yivmin. And hence, he's been isolated or highlighted, and hence he has the power to do Hafara. This is Reb Ami's explanation of Reb Elozer in the Mishnah. So that Reb Elozer was speaking specifically about a case where Maimer, the money offer, was made to the Yavama. So with that in mind, the Gemara continues, Reb Elozer, Sovar lo kebe Shammai. Reb Ami is explaining that the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, adopts Beis Shammai's approach to Maimer di Amri. Beis Shammai holds Maimer kine kinyan gomor. Maimer is a full-fledged form of acquisition. This is an idea that is unique to Beis Shammai. And the Rosh goes all the way with this and says in the middle of the wide lines, Kebe Shammai Damri Maimer kinyan kinyan gomor. We're reading in the Rosh. It says, kinyan gomor min ha-Torah. It works on a Torah level. This is a chiddush. In other words, this is not like we said before, but now we're explaining things through the eyes of Beis Shammai, that the Maimer idea works on a Torah level. The Dorish v'locholoi l'isha, da'yidei l'kicha, nasis ishto, that through l'kicha, l'kicha is a reference to the offering of money on the part of a Yavam to the Yavama, she becomes like his wife on a Torah level. The Gemara continues, v'Rabbi Yeshua Omar Loch, Hani Mili Bechad Yavam. Rabbi Yeshua holds that there is a bond between the Yavam and Yavama, but that's only when there's one Yavam. Aval B'Shnei Yivam, if there are two surviving brothers, two brothers-in-law, Loi Mi'iko Midi, he explains that when you have two, then we don't say that there is a bond which would enable Hafara. Mi'iko Midi, is there anything? Dechi Osi Achva Osur Alei Bebia, O Begita, U Mefer? Could there possibly be a situation where the second brother could come along and break the bond, so to speak, prevent the first brother-in-law from marrying her, and think that in the meantime the first brother-in-law would be able to be Mefer? Let's explain that a little further by looking at the Rosh commentary. Rabbi Yeshua Sovar Hani Mili Bechad Acho. Rabbi Yeshua Lo Sovar Ke Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yeshua does not hold like Beis Shammai. That the Maimer would establish a full-fledged husband-wife level relationship. Hilkoch b'chad acho mefer. Therefore, if there's one Yavam, he can annul the vow mishum zika because of the zika bond, the chashiva kiknusa, the fact that there is one clear Yavam, that makes it as if she is already married to him. That's the power of saying Yesh Zika. I will betray when you have two brothers-in-law, Ein Zika, the Afilu Asaba Maimer. This is the main point that Rabbi Yeshua is making. That when you have two Yifmin, there is no Zika, even if one of them gave her money. Why is that so? Kevon de Achva Motzi Lemifsole Begita Obabia Lo Motzi Mefer. Since the second brother, the one who did not do the Maimer, if he were, let us say, give the Yavama a divorce document, a get, or he were to engage in intimacy with her, that first brother-in-law that gave her money would not be allowed to marry her, to do the Yibum. So as we saw in the Gemara, how could it be that a man who, even if he gave her money, but his bond to her is subject to reversal, to dissolution, how could it be that such a man could have the power to annul her vows? And that scenario is so when you have two yivmen, two brothers-in-law. We continue in the Gemara of Rabbi Kiva Sovar, Ein Zika. Rabbi Kiva says there is no bond. There is a mitzvah to do yibum, but there's no bond that establishes the yavam yavama to be like husband and wife. And therefore, even in the case of one yavam, he cannot annul her vows. The Gemara asks, Ula Rebbe Lozar. This is another opinion. Sometimes the issue of names could be confusing. This is not a reference to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer in our Mishnah, but this is an Amora whose name is Rebbe Lozar ben Pedas. So the Gemara now asks, Rebbe Lozar, the Omar Maimer lebe Shamai ein kine ela lidchais betzora. Rebbe Lozar ben Pedas, this Amora interprets Beis Shammai with regard to Maimer not like we saw Rav Ami explain, but rather it doesn't create a full-fledged husband-wife relationship. All that Maimer does is that it's doiche betzora, ela lidchais betzora. My ikal lemeimar. According to Rebbe Lozar's approach to Beis Shammai, that the Maimer doesn't establish, as we said, a full-fledged husband-wife relationship, why then does the Tana, Rebbe Lezer, in the Mishnah say that even in the case of Shnei Yivmin, where there are two surviving brothers, Hafora is a possibility? The Gemara will answer that with diamond number two. Before we go further, though, we look in the Rosh commentary to appreciate a little more what does Rebbe Lozar mean when he says, according to Beis Shammai, Maimer is only Deiche Betzora. So we take a look in the Rosh commentary. You'll notice the more than halfway down the wide lines of the Rosh. He says, Ula Rebbe Lozar diomar Maimer lebeis Shammai einoi kine lechis Betzora gabi hod desnan beperek arba achin, regarding that which is taught in that perek of Yevamos that's called the Arba Achin. What is the story at hand? Shloish Achim, there are three brothers, and by the way, by all means, use the chart that we've included at the bottom of the page to follow along. So you have three brothers, and on the chart you can see they're called Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, abbreviated with singular letters. There are three brothers, Shnayimem, Nisum, Shtei Achoyos, two of them, Reuven and Shimon, you can see on the chart, are married to Rachel and Leah, respectively. V'echod Mufne, and there's a third unmarried brother, namely Levi. Meis echod mibalei achoyos, one of the two brothers married to the two sisters died. And on our diagram, you can see a number one indicating the death of, and the slash through the resh, indicating the death of that brother, Reuven. He died. V'osa bo Mufne Maimer, and stage two, you can see Levi gives Rochel money. That's Kiddushei Maimer. V'achar kach meis ochiv asheni, and then Shimon dies. That's stage three. Now, is there a bond between Levi and Rochel? Well, there's a bond, a Maimer bond, or a connection that was established through the Maimer. And as a result of that connection, Beis Shammai Omrim Ishto Imo, that Levi can remain with Rochel, and Teitze V'Halazu Teitze Mishum Achos Isha, and Leah is exempt from Yibum. She's not a candidate for Yibum because she is in effect the sister of Rachel, who is like Levi's wife. Not full-fledged wife, and that's the main point right now. But like Levi, Rachel is like Levi's wife, so that Leah is viewed as the sister of Levi's wife, and a man cannot marry two sisters, and therefore there is exemption from Yibum with regard to Leah. The Kamar Belozer, Hod the Kamar Beishamai, the Maimer Kainim in Atira, that which Beishamai says that Maimer has an acquisition power on a Torah level, Hainu Dafka, Lichais Hatzora, Eishis Achiv, Shinofaleh, Venasis Lotzora, Benafila Zu. That it works on a Torah level to exclude Leah from Yibum. We might point out that if Levi had not done Maimer with Rachel, but simply remained a totally single brother, Reuven died, and then Shimon died, you have two sisters that are, confronting Levi, and Levi would not be able to do Yibum with either one, because either woman is achoisa kukoso, is the sister of a woman who is connected to him through the Yibum bond. So that the fact that Levi did Maimer with Rachel is a chiddush, that Levi can stay with Rachel and is not threatened by the achos zakuka issue that would have been a threat, as we said, had Maimer not been done. So you see that Maimer has a power, a total level power to disqualify Leah in our case from Yibum. The Rosh goes on though, Avol I boy lafuka begita lomotzi. If Levi, after doing Maimer with Rachel, thinks to get rid of her, to divorce her with a mere divorce document that you would give to a regular wife, that's not so over here. The chalitza nami baya, chalitza is still necessary. The hani hach drosh perakam the kiddushin. With regard to why this is so the Rosh cites a Gemara Kiddushin, which we don't have to get into right now. So, as we saw in the Gemara, according to the Amora Rebbe Lazar, who understands that the power of Maimer with regard to Beis Shammai is a limited, has limited effect, so then how do we explain the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, who said that even when there are two Yivmin, the hafora is a possibility? So the Gemara answers: Hocha b'mayaskinon, kegoyin de shomad bedin v'schayev lo mezoynus. The court intervened, and Maimer was done. Okay, that you can see that point in Rashi. The Rosh on that detail has a different take on it, but to keep things simple, one of the brothers did do Maimer, which we already established doesn't really create a husband-wife bond. However, it's enough that the court, Kigon Shomad Bedin, as we saw in the Gemara, the court got involved and said, we expect you to do Yibum, where you can't leave her hanging for so long, and they said that you now have to start supporting her. And as a result of this Yavam, one of the two that the court identified, isolated, and demanded him to start supporting her, the vows that she takes, that the Yavama takes, are based on the Yavam's approval, based on Reb Pinchas's teaching. And we take a look at the Rashi, Kigon Shomad Bedin. Rashi says, Misha'asa bo maimer, Shezu tavose bedin, Mipnei shalohoya miyabmo. He had done maimer, one of the two surviving brothers gave her money, and she sought him out, let's go all the way and consummate our Yibum marriage. And he was tarrying, And as Rashi says, she placed a claim against him in the court because he wasn't going ahead. V'chayvu Bezdin linosei lo, and Bezdin imposed an obligation on him to now consummate the marriage. Uborach, and he ran away. The chayev lo b'mizuyasel of us the dorech of Pinchas, and well, with that he is bound to support her, and he thereby is able to annul her vows. And that's, as Rav Pinchas teaches, we read in the Gemara, Rav Pinchas mishmei the Rav of the Omar, kol hanoderes, women who vow, al das bailo I noderes. She vows, assuming the approval of her husband. When we speak about of her husband, and we're referring to, in this case, of the one who is supporting her. So with all of that information in place, we can understand that even if there are two Yivmin, the Tana, Rebbe Elazar can say that the one that was obligated by the court to support her, he is the one, the Yavam, that has the ability to annul her vows. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. You'll notice we have a long question marking, and the question here is focused on Rebbe Ami's explanation. This approach, you can see, is taken by the Rosh in a very explicit fashion, that this is a question on Rebbe Ami. Rebbe Ami had established the Tano Rebbe Lezer as empowering the Yavam that did Mimer with her to annul her vows. So now we continue in the Gemara. Tanan, Omer Rebbe Eliezer. This is, of course, a quote from the Mishnah, and we're dealing with the Tana Rebbe Eliezer that Rebbe Ami was coming to explain. What does it say in the Mishnah? Uma im isha shikona le'atzma re'u mefer nedoreha. If a man marries a woman on his own volition, he gains the power of annulling her vows. Isha shehikno lo min hashamayim, a woman that was granted to him through heaven, eino din shemefer nidorel, all the more so he has the power to annul her vows. V'hi b'shasa maimer, if Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah is speaking as Rebbe Ami claimed, that he had taken the initiative of giving her money, then he acquired her. The Mishnah describes Rebbe Lezer as referring to a woman that was granted him by heaven. But if Rebbe Ami's explanation is so, that the Mishnah, namely Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah, is speaking about a case where Mimer was done, so why do you say Hikdalo min Hashemayim, that's heavenly granted to him, or heavenly entitled to him? He did it. He gave her money. The Gemara answers, that's not a question. Shekona li'atzmoi al yedei shamayim. It's true he gave her money, but who was he giving? Who was he, the Yavam, giving money to? He was giving money to a woman that came to him through heavenly intervention, through the death of her husband. So that the term of hikna lo min shamayim does not contradict the explanation of Rav Ami. Now you notice we have a bracketed section. One could debate the need or the validity of having brackets here, but what we are trying to accomplish is, if you skip the bracketed section, you see immediately the Gemara says Tanya Nami Hochi Ki Rebbe Ami. We now are going to bring support. It's a very long point. This long point takes us to the top of Ayin Hey Omen Aleph. One very long point where we present a Tanaic source which serves as a support for Rav Ami. So that in the give and take of the Gemara, we raise the question at the top line on Rav Ami, we answered the question of Rav Ami, and then we bring support to Rav Ami. Now, we have a bracketed section. Within the bracketed section, it's true the Gemara deals with the issue of Mimer, but we can view that which is in the bracketed section as a separate point. With all of that having been said, let's go now straight through the Gemara without skipping. What I wanted to show is that simply after the brackets, having answered the question of Rami, we then have a support to Rami, which is very nice. Now, in the brackets, we continue. Tifshot deboi rabo. When you see this Gemara structure, tifshot deboi so and so, basically it's a question which says can we now, with what we've learned, can we now resolve a question that was posed by so and so? In this case, Rabbo had posed a question once upon a time, and with the information we've learned, we should be able to answer his question. But what's hinted to in a Gemara like this is that, well, but after all, Rabbo had the question, so didn't he know everything that we've said till this point? And still he had the question. So it must be that we can't resolve his question based on what we've learned. So we have, as far as our markings are concerned, we're starting this not as, we're not describing it, even though it's an intimated question. We're calling this a point. And then the Gemara is going to say at the end of this long point, no, you can't conclude that which we are suggesting. So now let's see this in the Gemara. Tifshot deboi rabo. Let us conclude, offer an answer to Rabbo's question. What does Rabbo ask? Maimer lebei shamai. Eirusinoise oinesuinoise. Maimer according to Beis Shammai. Does it accomplish Eirusin? Eirusin is the first stage of marriage between regular husband and wife situation. Or does it establish Nisuin? Of course, Maimer is in the context of Yibum. But what level of connection is achieved by Maimer, according to Beis Shammai, if you were to compare the Yevoma after Maimer to a case of a regular marriage? Does it create Eirusin? Eirusin status or Nisuin status? So, in light of what we've learned till now, Tifshot, let us conclude the Nisuin Isa, that it accomplishes the Nisuin level, the high level, the level of consummation. The E, Eirusin Isa, if Maimer simply brought them to the Eirusin level, Ha Tanan, but we've learned earlier, Naira Murasa Avia Ubaila Mefira Nidara. There's no annulment of vows in the case of a Arusa, Naira Murasa, unless the father is also involved. Yet, we saw in our current discussion, we saw that Rabbi Eliezer said that even if you have multiple Yivmin, once Maimer is done, as Rabbi Ami explained, once Maimer is done, so that one Yavam who did the Maimer is able to annul the vows. There's no reference to a father working along with him, so it must be that the Maimer creates a type of Nisuin status. Had it been an Eirusin status, then the Yavam wouldn't have been able to function on his own as we've been assuming. The Gemara says, no, you can't reach any conclusions regarding Rabbo's question, because as far as our Yavam is concerned, Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, my Yofer, what is meant by Yofer in our Mishnah with Rebbe Lozer saying that the Yavam can be Mefer, it's Yofer B'shutfis. It's Hafara, but together with the father. And if that be the case, so then it could be that all that Maimer accomplishes is Eirusin. So Rabbo is left with his question. The statement of, or the position of Rav Elazar in the Mishnah cannot be used to resolve his question. Tanya Nami Hochi Kerebi Ami. At this point, the Gemara cites a Tanaic source that will to support Rav Ami, that the Machloikis Tanoim in the Mishnah, and focusing on Rav Elazar momentarily, is a case where the Yavam did Mimer. There were two Yivmen, and one of them did Mimer with the Yavama. As far as how are we going to see a support in this source, you're going to have to wait till the Gemara at the top of Ayin Hay, which elaborates on information in this source. On the side of the Gemara, you can see we have a nosei, a topic heading, we call Hemshech, simply a continuation of the topic. Siyumi Braisa, a support from a Tanaic source, Lehesberish Reb Ami, Bedivrei Reb Elazar, to support Reb Ami, who was an Amora. Reb Ami's explanation of the Tana of Reb Elazar, the Ben Yovam Echad, Ben Shnei Yivim, the Yovam Mefer, Shemeduber B'Shasa Ba Mimer. In the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where one of those two surviving brothers had done Mimer with their sister-in-law. And we know Heora Ech Roim Hasua Muzbar Ba'ayin Heom Adav. How to see the support will be explained on Ayin Heom Adav. So now we have a Gemara. And note again, like we mentioned earlier, it's a long point. And it takes you till the fifth line from the top of Ayin Heom Adav. If you don't have a marked Gemara, we just want to remind you that you can access marked Gemaras by contacting us at gmarkings@gmail.com. So we continue now with the Tanaic. So Shemeres Yavam, Bein Yavam Echad, Bein Shnei Yivmin, a Shemeres Yavam, even if she is an Almona with two of her husband's surviving brothers present, Reb Elazar Omer Yofer. Reb Elazar's Hafora is a possibility. One of those Yivmen will have the power to be Mefer. Reb Yeshua Omer Le'echad V'lo L'shnayim. A Yavam can be Mefer only if he is a singular, a sole brother, and not not one of two or more brothers. Reb Yekiva Omer Lo Le'echad V'lo L'shnayim. Reb Yekiva says there is no Hafora on the part of a Yavam, not only if there are two brothers, but even if there's one surviving brother, nevertheless, he has no hafara power. Amar Reb Elazar, who was very much in favor of Yavam doing hafara, having the power to do hafara, explains, Uma im isha she'en lo chelek bo'ad shelo tova lirshuso. Misha bosa lirshuso nigmar lo, mind you, a woman in a regular marriage situation, that he has no connection with her before she comes into his domain. When she comes into his domain, for example, the Orus is Mefer, the Nedarim, with her father. So we see that a husband who previously had no connection with her, once she enters the domain of marriage, the realm of marriage, he does have the power to annul her vows. Isha sheyesh lo chelek ad shelo tova lirshuso. In the case of a Yavama, this is a woman that the Yavam had a connection with her before she enters his domain. Namely, before he does anything, she is connected to him. She's zekuka to him. So, misha boso lirshuso in odin she tigmor lo. When she comes into his domain, and we'll have to explain that later. That's the point the Gemara will make on Daf Ayin Hamad Aleph, that this expression Mishabos Rishuso is in fact a reference to the Mimer. That's a point of support to Rav Ami's explanation of Rabbi Elazar. Don't forget, we're speaking right now within Rabbi Elazar. So that this expression Mishabos Rishuso Eino Din Shetigmor Lo, and when she enters his domain, the Yavama enters the realm, the domain of the Yavam, all the more so he has the power to make for her Nedarim. Omar lo, Rabbi Akiva lo. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Imamris b'isha shikona hu liatzmo, if you're saying that a woman who was acquired by a man on his own, shekashem she'ein lo chelek ba kachein lacherim chelik ba, just like he has no connection with her before erusin, so too no others have any connection with her before erusin. Toimar beisha shehiknu lo min hashamayim. Should you say the same thing with regard to a yavama, a woman who was granted to him by heaven, shekashem sheyesh lo imo chelik, just like he has a connection with her, kach yesh lacherim chelik ba, so to other yivmen, other brothers, surviving brothers of the deceased have a connection with her. Omar lo Rabbi Yoshua, Akiva devorecha b'shnei yivmen. Your point in demonstrating the, we'll say, the weakness of a yavam is only in the case where there are a couple of them, a couple of surviving brothers. Mata meishiv al yavam echad. What are you going to answer in terms of or concerning a situation of one yavam? Omar lo. So Rabbi Akiva responds, klum chilaknu al yavam echad v'al shnei yivmin. Do you think that we really make a distinction between one yavam and two yavmin? Bein shosobo maimer, bein shalosobo maimer. Whether maimer was done or maimer was not done, in all cases of yibum, her status is not like the status of a nara hamurasa to be mechayev, one who has intimacy with her, with a yavama, as would be the case of a nara hamurasa. Ukishar dvorim kein nedorim. And just like regarding other matters, like the matter of capital punishment for immorality, the Yavama does not have the status of a Nahar Amurasa, so too with regard to Nidorim. The Yavama does not have the status of a Nahar Amurasa. Namely, in the case of Nahar Amurasa, there is Hafora as a possibility on the part of a husband. In the case of Yibum, there is no Hafora possibility on the part of the Yavam. But Loshana Ze Omar Ben Azai, using the following expression, Benazai said, "Chaval alecha Benazai, woe unto you, Benazai shaloshimachdes Rabbi Akiva, that you didn't learn enough from Rabbi Akiva to know how to give such sharp answers and responses as Rabbi Akiva." I'm sure some of you, if not many of you, sensed that we were explaining a lot more into the words than the literal translation of the text would have suggested. So, of course, everything we said is based on the Meforshim that you see on the daf. And how did the Meforshim come to their conclusions? By, of course, learning on in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, we continue at the top of Ayin Hamad Aleph, Tanya Kavose de Rabbi Ami. Where in this source do you see that Rabbi Ami's explanation of Rabbi Lezer finds support? What was Rabbi Ami's explanation of Rabbi Lezer? Rabbi Lezer says that even in the case of multiple Yivmin, how far is the possibility? It's because one of the Yivmin did Kimimer. And as a result of the Mimer, so that Yavam has Hafora powers. Do you see that in the words of Rabbi Eliezer in this text? So Gemara says, yeah, you'll see it, but we have to read on. Point number one. Midikotani, from the fact that in this source it said, Bein she'osa bo maimer. Bain shalo also ba mimer. If you want to navigate with the markings, so you see that we have on the right hand side of the text a mark indicating to look back at Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So if you go back to Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, you'll find the corresponding mark three lines up from the bottom. You see a similar mark indicating Ayin Hamad Aleph. So it's at that point that this quote was mentioned. What was going on there? Rabbi Akiva was responding to Rabbi Yoshua, who was clarifying the circumstances of this source involving Yivmin, And what did Rabbi Akiva say? He said, listen, when you're dealing with Yivmin, whether Maimer was done or whether Maimer wasn't done. So you can see that it must be that Rabbi Akiva had heard that Rabbi Eliezer had explained the Yavam's ability to be Mefer because Maimer was done. Well, that's exactly what Rabbi Ami said. You can see Rashi on the second line from the top, Midikotoni, Rabbi Akiva Omer Klum Chilatnu Ben Yavam V'chulei Ben Shosa Maimer V'chulei. Rabbi Akiva says, do you think we make any distinctions in the case of Yibum, etc., and so forth? And he says, whether Maimer was done or not, Mechlal Dishami Leila Rabbi Lezer, it must be that Rabbi Akiva heard Rabbi Lezer taking the position, the Omer Kishosaba Maimer Yofer, that if the Yavam had done Maimer, had offered her money, so then he gets the powers of Hafora. Because of that, Rabbi Akiva responded the way he did. What's important for us is that through Rabbi Akiva's argument back to those that argue with him, including Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer had said that the Yavam's ability to do Hafara, even in the case of multiple Yavam, is because that one had given her money, had done Maimer. That's what Rabbi Ami had said as explaining Rabbi Eliezer. We continue in the Gemara. Inami me reisha dikotani. Now here, in order to find where this quote is coming from, we also have a cross-reference marking. To the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a mark indicating ayin dalet amud beis. So look back to ayin dalet amud beis for the same cross-reference marking, and you see ayin hei amud aleph. So it's explained from the as the Gemara says, inami me reisha. Alternatively, or in addition, from the reisha, you can see a support to Rabbi Ami and his explanation of Rabbi Eliezer tikotoni. And this is a quote from Rabbi Eliezer himself speaking, not like we saw before, trying to figure out Rabbi Eliezer through the eyes of Rabbi Akiva, but this is a quote from Rabbi Eliezer himself. And what did it say? Tikotoni mishabosa lirushuso. Nigmarolo, regarding the Yavama, it says, and when she comes into his domain, so certainly Nigmarolo certainly has the powers to do, he has the power to do Hafora. The E, the Lo Kaddish, if the Yavam had not given her money, my Nigmarolo, what does that expression mean? She is now complete with him. Tifsho mine, from this terminology, nigmarlo kishaosa bo maimer. It's a reference to the Yavam having done maimer with her. As you can see at this point, then we've come to the end of the long point, which had Rav Ami seeing support from the Tanaic source that the Tana, Rabbi Lezer, in speaking about Hafora powers of a Yavam, even when there are two Yivmen, is when one of the Yivmen had done Maimer. At this point, the Gemara wants to explain another, let's say, vague phrase found in the Brisa, at the end of the Brisa on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, and you have another cross-reference marking. You can see on the left-hand side of our Gemara an arrow indicating to look at Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. You'll discover a corresponding arrow two lines from the bottom back there on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis indicating to look to Ayin Hei Amud Aleph, where this quote comes from. So the Gemara asks, "My Ukshar Dvorim Kenadorim Dekotoni." This was Rabbi Akiva's summation, whereby he said, just like in other areas, so too in the case of Nedarim. Omar Rava, Hochi Kotani. This is the understanding of Rabbi Akiva's point. Iyato Moide, She'ein Chayovim Skila, Kinam Rosa. Do you not agree that in the case of immorality, on the part of a Shomeres Yavam, a woman waiting to do Yibum, that there is no death penalty, there's no stoning. Even if Maimer was done, there's no stoning, as would have been the case of a Nara Hamurasa, an outsider woman who met a man who offered her marriage. In the case of a Nara Hamurasa, one who conducts immorality with her would get stoned. Omar Rav Ashi, Masnisen Nami Daika. From our Mishnah Daf Ayin Dalet Omid Aleph, you can see a support to this understanding of the Braisa, that proof is brought. Rabbi Kiva is bringing proof from the fact that there's a chiyuv skila in a regular marriage, which you don't find in the case of Yibum. What did it say in the Mishnah on Ayin Dalet Omid Aleph? Ein Yavama Gemura Leisha Kashem Sharusa Gemura Leisha. A Yavama is not a complete bond, as is the case of an Arusa with her husband. Now, from the fact that we're referring to the man-woman relationship using the word Isha, it must be that we're talking about a case of Mimer. That point you can see in the Rashi, Dikotoni, Ein Hayavama Gemura Liisha, Mitakakori Liyavama Isha, from the fact that the Loshen Isha was used. Isha means Ish Shela, her husband. And it said, Ein Yavama Gemura Liisha. That word, from the fact that she is being referred to as the Isha of her Ish, Alma Kshosva Maimer Askinan. We're talking about a case of Maimer. Maimer was done. Umidika Omar Hocha. And from the fact that it says here, the Ikonami Lahakish Larusa, that we're comparing or contrasting the Yavama after Maimer to the case of Arusa, Shmamino de Mishum Skila Hudikom Rabbi Kiva. It's because of Skila, which is not present in the case of the Yavama, even if Maimer was done, the Eino Mefer Kishem Shemefer Arusa, as opposed to the Arusa case, a regular marriage where Hafora is a possibility, not so in the case of Yibum. And that the point of contrast, though it's not so explicit in the Mishnah, but the fact that the Yavama is being contrasted with the case of the Arusa, and in the case of Arusa we know there's a penalty of Skila, it must be that in contrast with her, the Yavama, there is no penalty of Skila, and therefore there is no Hafora power on the part of the Yavam either. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.